back on downtown. Time for a message in the bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello, Eric.
Hello. First of all, nice segue. Very expertly engineered, and also well played with the lyrics.
Thank you very much.
All noted. How's everybody out there in Radioland? How are you, Rich?
Good. I'm doing great. Getting the hang of it here. You know, it all hit home today. The moving truck came to get Carrie's stuff out of the garage. So, as we've been saying around here, he is really playing this joke right till the end.
It's a Favreur or a Brady.
Yes.
He's going to continue this until he's like, I'm coming back.
We're hoping.
Gotta hope.
He seems committed to the bit.
Well, you know, he's a professional.
Oh yeah.
Well, I hope everybody's all right. I know if anybody's like me, and I know a lot of people are, we're right in the thick of the maelstrom of the new school year, new sports and artistic endeavors, plus just the chaos of everyday life. I truly hope you're navigating it better than I. I'm doing my best, but I know it's a crazy time of year. So let's move to something comforting in the wine world. Let's move to our country. Let's move to the New World and specifically North America. I'm going to start on California, but we're going to try to hit everything. But I just kind of want to remind everybody that when the Europeans arrived. For better or worse, and as a descendant of such, I will use the terminology we brought a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. The one thing that we did bring was Vitis vinifera, which is the grapes that we like to drink, as I like to put it. And it was first planted on the East Coast, and it went badly because of the phylloxera louse. But as we'll talk about a little bit more next week, it was brought to the West Coast, where the phylloxera louse did not live, fairly inhospitable to it, a lot of, you know, desert conditions, etc. And so we were able to get Vitis vinifera growing on the West Coast, which is where we're going to start today, in California. And I like to sort of start by saying, what makes California such a famous and special wine region? And then I like to sort of back up from that, because it is not a region. It is tons of regions in one state. And the delimitations of the state had nothing to do with the delimitations of varying wine regions. But it's fair to say that lots of people, have visited wine regions in California and have their own impressions of what they are or aren't. But I think everybody, unless you've really gone far and wide, really have no idea, because, as I say, it's just an incredible amount of land. It's an incredible amount of different viticultural areas, climates, microclimates, etc. So, briefly, just to sort of think about it, obviously everybody's sort of familiar with the tectonics of California, at least as far as the major tectonics and the fact that earthquakes happen a lot. But let's think about what those tectonics have done over the years. They've created a lot of mountains and valleys, and a lot of these mountains and valleys have provided really, really beneficial soils and as I said, microclimates for viticulture. So it's not just, for instance, the Napa Valley, which is fairly close to the coast, obviously, just being north of San Francisco. But you've got like the Sierra foothills, you've got the Sierra Mountains, which are if anybody's read any geology books, the works of John McPhee, etc., they're fascinating. And full of history far and beyond wine, but they are also, you know, a very inland version of all these hills and valleys that we're talking about. And then up and down the coast. So you've got wine being grown. If you sort of extend California to Baja, You've got wine being grown all the way down into Mexico, and certainly, you know, just north of San Diego, north of Los Angeles, in what they call the southern coast. Then just north of there, you've got the vast central coast area, which is obviously these days having a lot of problems with climate change, which certainly is going to affect viticulture as well as anything else, but is a tremendous source, including the famed regions of Paso Robles, Monterey, etc. So just something to sort of think about as we go on talking about this. And then, as I mentioned, as we go further up the coast, of course, you have the sort of Tech Valley, San Jose, San Francisco, and north of that you do have Napa Valley, Alexander Valley, what's called the North Coast. And then even farther up, you have Redwoods. And, of course, as we'll talk about later, you get up into Oregon and further into Washington. So just this wonderful viticultural area all the way up and down the West Coast. What made it famous? It was going, as again, we'll sort of talk about next week, since the 1700s. But what really made it famous was in 1976, there was a British gentleman named Steve Spurrier, again, as I always mention, not the football coach, but a wine merchant, who was a British guy. He opened up a little store and educational center just off the Parisian version of Wall Street, and decided that he would sort of stage this thing. So he went to Napa, specifically, and got samples of the wines that were being made there, and very much in the old world style, not what you think of today as these overblown oaky cabs and Chardonnays, but really old world stuff made by, frankly, old world people and or their acolytes. And he staged this wonderful tasting called the Judgment of Paris. You know, wasn't then, but it's become known as such. Long story short, the California wines in a blind tasting with French judges won. And it blew everybody's mind that there were these wines from the New World that were balanced, beautiful, potential for aging. The wines that won specifically were the Stag's Leap Cabernet Sauvignon and the Chardonnay from Chateau Montelena, both huge names now, of course, in the wine world. But it was essentially what put California on the map and helped them drive up their prices at the same time, I might add, as a retailer. But it established not only California, but North America and the Americans as legit players on the world stage, which helped us then sort of control who became the new world players in terms of emerging or re-emerging wine regions like we'll talk about in the next coming weeks and months, like Chile, Argentina, etc. So I'm sure I'm out of time, and I've got to go prepare for a soccer practice, which I am wildly unqualified to do, but they still let me do it anyway. And so, yeah, I'll talk to all of you next week about sort of the origins of the California wine scene, and I hope everybody takes it easy and as well.
Excellent. Well, good luck at practice, Coach. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate it, Rich. Be well.
Bye-bye. You got it. That's Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, every week here on Downtown.